It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I am very pleased to welcome to Catch the Beat three planners and organizers of the Champaign County Indivisible No Kings Number 3 coming up this Saturday, March 28th from 1 to 3 at the Champaign County Courthouse. And you represent a few of the co-organizers, the groups that have come together to plan this. We have Jeff and Tracy Dugan, who have been organizers of Champaign County Indivisible from the beginning, and Joe Pavia, who has been in government and has an impressive amount of experience in the public eye and is representing both Indivisible and CURE, the Champaign Urbana Resistance Effort. So Tracy, you are going to be the MC, you're the voice on Saturday. So tell us what you have in mind and what has gone into the planning of No Kings Number 3.
I think one of the foundational things that we wanted to put in place with this rally, and I think kind of moving forward, is spreading the focus from just we're here to protest, march, be angry. We want to counteract what we're seeing happen with this administration and find the joy in coming together as a unified group of people with a common purpose. And so our focus this time has been not only to highlight the challenges that we're facing, not only to come together and raise our voices in protest, but to identify the things where we can find joy. And that is in coming together, that is in raising our voices together. And so with this one, we're shifting away from just speaker after speaker after speaker. And we've got two speakers, and then we have music from three separate groups that are going to be performing for us. And then we also have some costume contests that are geared towards coming out. We've seen so many of the protests around the country be surrounded by the costumes and the big blow up things. And so we're kind of embracing that and sort of bringing it together. So joy is a form of resistance, and that's where our focus is going to be with this one.
There are 3,000 events planned across the country for Saturday. Have you had contact with an overarching idea about what this No Kings Number 3 would be?
In some ways, some of the suggested top line messaging is really coming back and doubling and tripling down on the messages that we saw in particular through January as Donald Trump and Christine Ohm and Pam Bondi were deploying various armed forces throughout Minneapolis, St. Paul. What they are doing is just flat out illegal under the Constitution, especially in light of the armed conflict that is being talked about in the executive branch like a war, in spite of the lack of a declaration of war from Congress, and in spite of not taking the time to message to the American people why they thought this might be important in trying to get it on board, whether you believe them or not. But also at a much more local level, we took the time to reach out to the people who are planning in Danville and in Monticello, each of which is about a 45-minute drive, and we specifically coordinated our sets of timing so that people who wanted to could be at two or all three of them. And each event is trying to change up the flavor a little bit so that in some places, if what you want to do is be out and angry and yelling, you have a place for that. If you want to celebrate your rights that exist and are protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution, to come together and peacefully petition your government to redress grievances and to find joy and in art and creativity, you have a place for that. If you want to simply be spreading the word in an otherwise redder bubble, just out with messaging and trying to win attention, you have a place for
Joe, what perspective have you brought to planning the No Kings rally?
I'm, as you said, a member of both CURE, the Champaign-Urbana Resistance Effort, and Champaign County Indivisible. I want to say that all the people involved in these organizations are really concerned about the future of this government for our loved ones. We want our children and our grandchildren to grow up in a democracy, to thrive in a democracy. And the perspective I'm bringing is that our democracy is seriously under threat. I'm a retired attorney. As an attorney, I brought cases involving the constitutional and civil rights of Americans. And these cases went to the Illinois Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court. My perspective is, with my professional education and my experience in life, that our democracy is under a terrible threat. And the threat is emanating from Donald Trump in his administration there in Washington, D.C.
Who will be the speakers?
The first one that we're going to have relatively early in the event is County Clerk Aaron Ammons. The timing for this was good because he's just finished wrapping up the administration of the statewide primary election, at least the Champaign County part of it. We're really wanting to get ahead of the relentless propaganda drumbeat that we're pretty sure we're going to see coming about voter fraud, about the need to disenfranchise people by way of requiring proof of citizenship to vote, and hearing about it from somebody whose job is to be certain that elections are run accurately, fairly, and efficiently. The second speaker that we have is a teaching assistant professor at the University of Illinois named Nicholas Grossman, whose specialty is in international relations. What we approached it about when we sent the invitation was that with his international relations expertise, he's got the ability to highlight ways in which actions that the White House has been taking through the last 15 months have been making all of us less safe.
Let's give people an idea of what will be happening between 1 and 3 at the Champaign County Courthouse in Urbana, the two speakers, and they will kick it off. And then what will happen?
The way that we have it structured is, first of all, everybody's going to have to listen to me a bit because
You're very easy to listen to, Tracy. You're great. And you are even a great singer. So I hope you get a chance to do that.
Everybody's going to have to
Wonderful.
listen to me for a little bit. And then we have three musical acts on the Back Porch Boys, Amazon, and Doc Shred. And we're going to alternate them with our speakers. So I think we're starting with the Back Porch Boys, followed by Aaron Ammons, followed by Amazon, followed by Nicholas Grossman, followed by Doc Shred. Interspersed in there, you're going to hear from me. We're going to have, like I said, the costume contests. We're going to have an area for sidewalk chalk drawings. We have prizes for the costume contests. We're going to highlight some of the people whose lives have been lost in relation to things that have been happening with ICE and DHS. We're going to spend some time honoring those people whose lives have been lost. We're going to have Chance. I'm pretty sure Amathong is going to be leading some songs that people can join in on. And then as we wrap all of that, there will be a march around downtown Urbana.
What kind of security have you had to arrange for Saturday?
We've done coordinating with both the sheriff's office and with the Urbana Police Department. We have a volunteer staff of somewhere between 30 and 40 folks who will be working in groups throughout the area who are going to focus on de-escalating anything that may eventually happen. And unfortunately, based on previous events, there are likely to be some counter protesters from further to the left than the median center of gravity, the folks in attendance, who are probably going to show up, are probably going to try to disrupt things. Experience says if we do something, they show up.
But our safety team did a day of training yesterday. We have an excellent leader for our safety team who is well aware of how things have gone in the past. He was part of the safety team before. We're being very, very proactive in our plans for making sure this is a safe event and that the people that are there with us are safe and well protected.
I might add that I'm part of the safety team, that both the sheriff and the city police are aware of the situation and will be present. And the counter protesters haven't threatened anybody or anything. All they're really trying to do is draw attention, and they come out with their loud speakers and try to make some noise, to say, we're here too. It can be disturbing to the people who are trying to listen to the speakers at the platform. So.
At the last No Kings, I thought that the police and the sheriff's office did a very good job in just calming down the crowd and telling people how to respond to things. And they have done, very practical things, putting up concrete barriers so that no one can drive into the protest. It felt quite orderly last time. Now, how many people came last time?
Our best estimate is somewhere between 4,000 and 4,500.
Do you have any estimate for this Saturday?
Right now, no, other than based on the trajectory that we've seen with things nationally, probably going to be more. We've got some places we're going to try to be able to get some approximately overhead shots, photographs taken, either from relatively high inside the Bennett Building, which has a great view overlooking the area that we'll have secured. Or possibly from the top of the city parking deck, where we can at least try to use those to gauge how many people.
Been sort of a quest to see how we can get a more accurate count of the people that are attending the rallies. And our next step is just to try to get some elevation and try to track it from that angle rather than being surrounded by a group of people and doing our best to count. So
But in the year we've been doing things, we've gone from probably roughly 1,500 people almost exactly a year ago from when this event will be happening to about 2,000 or 2,500 in June to somewhere between 4,000 and 4,500 in October.
there's a very powerful group of co-sponsors for this event, and I would just like to read all of those because it's very interesting to see who came together. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU of both Champaign County and Illinois, the American Association of University Professors, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign chapter, the Champaign County Democrats, the Champaign Federation of Teachers, the Champaign-Urbana Resistance Effort, CURE, Indivisible Illinois, the statewide Indivisible, the Mahomet Democrats, the Mahomet Per Sisterhood, the Non-Tenure Faculty Coalition Local 6456, and Starbucks Workers United.
One of the reasons in particular for getting some of the labor unions involved this time compared to the June and October events has been very specifically starting to look at how between now and November of this year and then past, we can begin to use our collective power as citizens, as people who do work in this town, as people who are connected to the university. To begin pulling some of the pillars of support out from underneath the regime's actions. The more of those pillars of support that we actually have involved in doing and have people taking back to the communities they are a part of, the more widespread that resistance can become and the more we can accelerate change.
What do you anticipate coming out of this rally and going forward with giving people ways to join in the resistance? Now, Joe, what will CURE be doing ongoing?
We will be continuing our various efforts that involve not only rallying, but contacting politicians when critical legislation is up. One way to express ourselves as Americans is to tell our representatives exactly what we think. And we do that. We do it by telephone. We do it by writing campaigns. And I must say, Champaign County Indivisible is wonderful in leading many of these efforts. We will continue to have rallies. What these rallies do for the faithful, so to speak, is it binds us together. It incites us to action. And that's what is needed. I put on my stationery whenever I send a letter, whether it be email or otherwise, all it takes for tyranny to win is for good people to do nothing. CURE and Champaign County Indivisible are about doing something. We can't stand by. This is our watch. We're the grown-ups in this time period. We can't stand by and watch our government lost to an autocracy.
Jeff and Tracy, what can we expect to have Indivisible offering as ways people can join in on resistance?
We will have tables at the event with information for anyone who's interested. We will have those tables for other organizations to set up if they choose. We always encourage people to join us in our monthly general business meetings. We encourage people to, in those general business meetings, we have different groups within our organization that focus on different things, you know. So if there's a passion project that you have or an issue that is of particular importance to you, we will help you to create an offshoot of Champaign County Indivisible that will have that be a focus, whether that's Jeff is involved in voter engagement and legislative affairs. I'm involved in that LGBTQIA committee. We have people that do postcarding. We have people that do phone calls. We have people that write letters to the editor. We have people that organize pop-up protests. So we have a lot of different spaces, and we're always open to, if you have a thing that is important to you that you want to see action taken on, talk to us and we will get like-minded people together with you and we will support you in whatever your passion is. As Jeff always says, we're not the heads. We are first among equals. We're just in this fight with everybody else. We just happen to be the ones that looked at each other and said, I guess we're going to start a thing. And so we just want to help everybody in our community to find their voice, because they want us silenced. They want us cowering in fear about what they're doing. And we're here to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to find ways to support each other and be there for each other and find ways to resist whatever that might be.
Some of those other things will look like good old-fashioned electioneering. Between now and August, we're planning to try to do what we can to coordinate with Indivisible groups in states that we have family ties to help them with phone and text banking and getting out the vote for the candidates they are excited about, because their primaries are coming. We have a chance to take a breath from that. And then as we get to around Labor Day and people start to think ahead to November, canvassing, phone banking, postcarding in favor of the candidates that we want to support in the state of Illinois, that we are regularly alerting people to what are Senator Duckworth and the representatives in the House whose districts are at least partly in Champaign County, what are they up to? As there are bills that are coming up in the state legislature that we think our membership will have an active interest in the outcome of one way or another. When there are committee hearings that are scheduled, alerting them to how can you make your opinion heard in the state legislature without having to do the hour and a half drive to Springfield, especially if you're somebody who's still working a full-time job. Anytime we are at one of our monthly general business meetings, there is always that open invitation of, are we not doing something you think we should be? Talk to us if you are willing. If you're willing to step up and help take some guidance on that, talk to us and we will connect you to the things that you feel like you need to help make it happen. I'm working on trying to coordinate with somebody from Fair Vote Illinois, just an open evening Zoom session at some point on what ranked choice voting is why they think that it is something that might be a good idea for Illinois, especially given the crowded Senate primary that we just had, with 10 candidates on the Democratic ballot. Even though there is somebody who was put forward, nobody was it more than half the vote. And a number of really worthy candidates probably suffered, especially toward the end, from it seeming to come down to a race between two of them.
Now, the urgency of people speaking up and organizing knowledgeably, and Joe, this may be something that as a lawyer and a public official, you have particular expertise in. As we approach the elections, it's going to get quite urgent. I have heard quite knowledgeable and informed people say that they believe that this administration is going to try to prevent elections happening.
I really truly believe that that's an extremely likely possibility. My thought is that this will be a step too far. I believe America as a whole, even many who initially have supported Donald Trump, will say this is a step too far. I think that the courts will certainly rebel against any such action. And I think that the states will themselves rebel against this action. The Constitution gives the authority to run the elections to the states. So any federal interference in it would be something that would draw all the patriots of the land to say, this has gone too far. And I don't know, but I'm hoping that National Guard troops or other federal officers who could be asked to interfere with these elections will say no, that there'll be enough of them to say no. It's a hope and a prayer. If there were National Guards surrounding polling places, for instance, I think there'd be an awful lot of citizens there too. And I think there would be family members of the National Guards people saying, you can't do this.
I just finished a unit on the Constitution with my students. And I think that what the citizens of the United States need to remember is that this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We decide who represents us. And our Constitution, as Joe stated, was written in such a way that the states have power. It was deliberately created in such a way that the power was distributed amongst three levels of government and three branches of government. And we need the legislative and the judicial branches to really step in and disrupt what this current regime is trying to do. And we need the powers at the local and the state level to make sure that they are doing their part to protect the rights of every person that lives within the United States of America.
Well said, Tracy.
I am a middle school social studies teacher. I teach 7th grade at Edison Middle School. We went through our Constitution unit this time. One of my biggest focuses for my students was that you have to learn your rights, that the rights that are constitutionally protected rights, not rights that were given to you by the Constitution, but rights that you have and that are protected by the Constitution. And you have to know those rights. Because if you don't know your rights, you don't know when the government is interfering and taking those rights away from you.
One of the things I know is coming shortly after this wraps is that there are a number of organized labor groups under the banner of the May Day Strong Coalition that are looking to turn Friday, May 1st into a one or possibly extending into the second 2 day sustained economic boycott, much like was happening on the last couple of Fridays of January, as a minimize any work or spending in the economy as a way of signaling that, yes, we as people, as laborers, have power, and that withdrawing our consent to participate in that system is a way that we can send a signal. We're nowhere near the idea that people keep floating as a general strike, because a sustained boycott like that is going to require rent support funds, strike funds for being able to help people who are staying home from work still be able to keep a roof over their head, to keep themselves fed, to keep themselves clothed, to be able to keep their utilities running so that they are capable of living.
Thinking of what both of the Dugans have been saying, I am reminded that Abraham Lincoln said, "There will always be people who will seek to draw all power to themselves, but it is for the ordinary Americans to stand up and say no."
Is there anything else you would like people to know about the Saturday rally or other issues?
I would just say it's going to be a great time. We're going to make our voices heard in all kinds of ways. We're going to support each other and be in a space of agreement with thousands of people. And there is so much power and so much strength that we can share in that moment.
I want to thank you three for Jeff Dugan, Tracy Dugan, and Joe Pavia for taking time to tell us about what are the plans for Saturday, and also just for the tremendous amount of work you have been doing for months and months and months. And I know a very small slice of it, but I know what it takes to pull off one of these things. And you are a remarkable team. That's the time we have for this week's Catch the Beat. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I give thanks to Jeff Dugan, Tracy Dugan, and Joe Pavia for being with me today. They are central organizers of the No Kings 3 rally, which will be held this Saturday, March 28th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Champaign County Courthouse at 101 East Main Street in downtown Urbana. There will be speakers, music, a costume contest, and a march around Urbana. Our Champaign County event is one of 3,000 planned nationwide for this Saturday's No Kings Round 3 protests. The focus is on nonviolent response to what the current administration is doing to threaten our democracy, education on the specifics of the threat and how we can understand and defend our rights, and coming together as a community to celebrate our strengths with people invited to come in costume as the Statue of Liberty, Uncle Sam, or an inspiration of their choice. All ages will have the chance to participate, to create our own statements with sidewalk chalk, to enjoy music by two live bands and Amisong leading songs of resistance. For more information about Champaign County Indivisible, search for their Facebook page or Instagram. Their next monthly business meeting will be Saturday, April 18th at 1:30 p.m. at the Urbana Free Library. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.